Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hillary and Obama show that went on today. Twisting themselves, make believe they love each other. And of course, it's garbage. That's all. Plain English. Nothing eloquent about that. Just as there's nothing eloquent about them. Turn it off already. I don't even like that song. As a matter of fact, that was a bad start to the show. Because, last night I watched a PBS documentary that was really astonishingly good about Winston Churchill. It was captivating to see such a great man. And how he was vilified all through the 30s by the communist left in England, calling him a warmonger, when he alone, almost single-handedly, saw what was coming, saw what the Germans were doing. He had to surreptitiously rebuild the Navy, the British Navy. He had to secretly get funds for the Spitfire. Had he not done that, there'd be no England today at all. They would be speaking German, and so would you. In fact, you'd be a lampshade. Was it not for his vision? I mean, we sure won the war, okay? But Britain put up quite a fight along the way. I'm surprised with the liberals in England that they didn't capitulate immediately to Hitler. So I'm watching the documentary and watching it, and I'm awed by the thing, how great the man was, Churchill. He was far greater than even I knew, and I knew he was a great orator because I studied him in college. When I took speech 101 a long time ago, we listened to the speeches of great men and great speakers. One was FDR's speech, another was Churchill's speech. And I remember being a poor kid with a bad accent in Queens, New York, saying, how could I ever speak as good as them? I don't know how to speak with that kind of accent. And the teacher said to me, I remember to this day, he said, Michael, you have a natural gift of speech. Don't be intimidated. He said, doesn't matter whether you speak with an English accent. He said, that's only one way of speaking English. He said, what matters is the words you choose, that's what matters. And he encouraged me to speak even in my, let us say, my street accent, whatever you want to put it to you that way, the New York accent, the brogue, for want of a better phrase. He said, one brogue is as good as another. It's a matter of the diction. It's a matter of the syntax. It's a matter of the words and a matter of that. So anyway, the point was, so I studied Churchill in college. Now I get back to the documentary. I'm watching it now. So late in his life, after World War II is over, and he's, basically single-handedly led the British people through the darkest of days, he has to run for office again. And the people basically don't want him. They want a socialist welfare state because they're tired. They're worn out from the war, and they want the government to give them handouts. So he gives a series of speeches on the dangers of socialism dating back to 1945, that I'll play for you in this hour. I'm not going to play for these right now. That was so current. He may as well have been talking about what we're facing in this country today as a choice between Barack Hussein Obama and John McCain. Now, John McCain, as you well know, is not a conservative. But compared to Barack Hussein, he is a conservative. I mean, by comparison. And I want to play one clip for you right now. Please listen to the words in clip 05, not 4-5.
No socialist system can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea. That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading them. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo.
I almost fell out of my bed when he said they would have to fall back on some sort of Gestapo. He was talking about the liberals of his time. I mean, you can call them socialists, but they're one and the same in this country. They've just been very clever in disguising their socialist rhetoric under the pretense of liberalism, but they're exactly the same. And he said that no socialist system can be established without a political police. We have this political police in place now. We have groups like Media Matters. They are political police. They're the fascists of our time, who are monitoring conservatives like Michael Savage, trying to trip us up and get us in trouble. And they're sending it to would-be dictators like Pelosi, the Mussolini in a skirt, or to Obama. We don't know whether he'd be more like Mussolini or Stalin, but one of the two would work. The fact of the matter is liberals cannot permit, because they're socialists, they could not allow free speech. They'd have to fall back on some sort of Gestapo. Which led me this morning to these thoughts. And those are the thoughts about the seven plagues visiting the United States today. Now, the Bible talks about seven plagues, the seven biblical plagues of the Bible. Do you remember any of them? Fire, vermin, boils, darkness, death of the firstborn. Is God angry with the United States? Have we defied his laws in numerous ways? God told us that a man should not lie down with another man, and we have defied him. He told us not to bear false witness, and we defied him. He told us to place no other God before him, and we have defied him. And so now the wrath of God is upon us in the United States of America. Remember the plagues of the Bible? Fire, vermin, boils, darkness, death of the firstborn. Well, God sent these plagues against Egypt. But think about it. In California right now, there are 1,000 fires burning out of control. But still, we defy him. In Missouri, vermin ate through a levee, flooding towns. But still, we defy him. In the Midwest, there were biblical floods. In cities across America, degenerates with boils and herpes and sexually transmitted diseases writhe in pain from their illness, but they still continue their perversion. As I said, the skies in California are choked with smoke from the 1,000 fires, but still the people defy God. And today, too many women slaughter their own firstborn with abortion in the name of freedom and progress. Yeah, I think God is angry with America. Why? Because we have broken his laws, and he has only just begun to shower his wrath upon this nation. I believe our only hope is to return to the path of righteousness, to return from the land of bondage that we created for ourselves, and to return to one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is Michael Savage. I approve of this monologue, and I believe the seven plagues of the United States will not be stopped, either with John McCain or with Obama. And I will now take your calls. It's been quite a week in the news. The U.S. Supreme Court swung from the left to the right this week, siding on Tuesday, I believe, with child rapists, saying that they're entitled to special protections, even though they mutilate young children, leaving them broken and bleeding. They would be subject to cruel and inhuman punishment, according to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is a woman who knows all. The rapist of children would be subjected to cruel and inhuman punishment if they were subjected to the death penalty. So, in other words, the left wing of the court sided with child rapists on Tuesday. We had a little taste of victory on Wednesday, reported Thursday, when 5-4 it swung the other way, and they reaffirmed the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, as meaning exactly what the founders intended, which was not to turn the power over to officials, not to turn the power of the people over to so-called elected officials, because they understood that elected officials will become corrupted and power mad. The Founding Fathers certainly understood that the right to bear arms was to be visited upon the people to protect them from an overbearing government, that they never intended to give this power to the officials, as schmucks on MSNBC would say. And so those are some of the topics that we can talk about. There are others here on MichaelSavage.com as well, and I will get to them in this hour. But before I close out this hour, I want you to listen to one of my role models. Listen to clip 04 now of Winston Churchill, 1945.
Socialism is in its essence an attack not only upon British enterprise, but upon the right of an ordinary man or woman to breathe freely without having a harsh, clumsy, tyrannical hands clapped across their mouths and nostrils. A free parliament. Look at that. A free parliament is odious to the socialist doctrinaire.
Yes, a free parliament is odious to the socialist doctrinaire, and the people could not breathe free air without a harsh, clumsy hand clasped over their mouths and nostrils. This is dedicated to Nancy Pelosi Mussolini. I'll be right back. I admit this is an unusual radio show. I'll be the first to admit that this is a hybrid radio show in many ways. That is extremely unusual for a AM talk radio show to quote the Bible. And I'm no holy roller. You know, I don't have a halo. I got to repeat it over and over again. Don't think I'm trying to stand above you. I'm talking about me as well as you. I mean, we're all in this together. God doesn't like competition. So trust me, I don't challenge God into having him believe that I'm trying to take his position anyway. I'm not playing demigod. I'm not a politician. But when I say, is God angry with the United States? Have we defied his laws in numerous ways? You know what I'm saying. Here in California, for example, it's gotten so bad that I believe very soon that instead of stopping at on a road trip, instead of stopping with the kids at Knott's Berry Farm, very soon in California, people will be stopping up in Northern California off the highway when they're on a tour with the kids at Hyam's Hash Farm for a tour about the wonders of marijuana. There are recruiting posters everywhere. When I grew up, there were posters of Uncle Sam. You say, Uncle Sam wants you. You cannot pick up a newspaper. You cannot click on the internet without seeing a recruiting poster for Uncle Damned wants you. Uncle Damned wants you. Everywhere you turn, it's Uncle Damned. I have never seen propaganda like this. Happy males with a baby living in happy and happy harmony. We're supposed to believe that's the homosexual lifestyle. They've all suddenly become papas all of a sudden. That's all they ever wanted was to settle down with another man and have a child. And the women, they didn't want wild sex. No, they just simply wanted to settle down and, just like their parents, have a child. That's the new propaganda. So it's getting crazy. Wherever you turn, it's getting crazier by the second. By the second, it's getting crazier. New York, Denise, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I'm calling to say thank you because you're the only one that I've ever heard speak so poignantly and just so passionately about the plight of innocent children that have been sexually molested. Furthermore, I feel you're the only one who has spoken so vehemently against the vermin, these pedophiles that commit these vile acts against innocent children.
And how could that ruling of the Supreme Court on Tuesday, saying that a state does not have the right to impose the death penalty on a child rapist, how could that not set off national outrage in this country? Answer, because the people have become numb to all. I think their senses are shot. They're overloaded. They're going through sensory overload from the media, whatever. The people don't react to anything anymore. I don't know what the people react to. It's a very strange time we're living in, and it's a very dangerous time because when people become this numb, demagogues like Obama can rise from the ashes of apathy. That's right. Demagogues like Obama can rise from the ashes of apathy. That's what I'm trying to tell the people about. That's a pretty eloquent phrase that I think Winston would have been proud of, and I thank you for the call. In that documentary, I was pleased. I was stunned. I knew he wrote, he was a big drinker. I'm not a big drinker, not like that guy. That guy, now he did it to the end, cigars and brandy, whoa. Breakfast was bacon and eggs. I mean, this guy lived to 90. I had a couple of strokes along the way, it's true, but the man did lead his people through World War II. He fought in World War I. What a life he had. And he was a fine painter on top of it all in his retirement, and quite a writer. But nobody was more eloquent than him. But he had a poodle named Rufus that looks just like Teddy. I couldn't believe it. I almost fell out of my bed. I knew he had a poodle. I learned that 6 months ago. I didn't know it when I got Teddy to imitate, Teddy, a wonderful dog. Never had a dog like this in my life. But last night when I saw the documentary of Churchill, and I see the same gray, intelligent poodle, I almost fell down. He loved that dog. He loved all animals. In fact, I remember one scene when he is led to a conference in North Africa. the attaché or the aide-de-camp of the king, probably of Haile Selassie, I don't know who it was, has a goat, a long-horned white goat as some kind of symbol. I hope they didn't slaughter it for him. But before he sat down in his official capacity as Prime Minister of England, he actually rubbed the goat's head. He loved animals. He used to talk to his goldfish. In fact, his private secretary said that late in life, he would look in the tank sometimes for long periods of time, and he started talking to the fish once. And one night he said to the fish, "I love you, and I would lay down, I would make love to you if I knew how." I mean, the guy was just absolutely wonderful. Just a great man. But he was warning the British people that they had a choice after World War II. If they voted for Labour, meaning socialist, because they wanted a free ride, there would have to be police to enforce socialism. And there would have to be a sort of a Gestapo to enforce socialism, which is what we have now. I'll give you an example. Diversity training, that's a Gestapo. That's where you're forced to say and believe things that you know are false. That's diversity training. That's a Gestapo. That's what socialism brings. I will give you another example. Global warming, highly controversial and only a theory at that. And yet those who disagree with the theory are being told they should be arrested by those who propose the theory. That's socialism. I can go down the list, and I think you understand the danger we are in. And if this character Obama is elected, we're going to have not just the Gestapo, but worse in this country. Oh, it'll all be done in the name of fairness and goodness. You know, it'll always be done in the name of goodness. That's how so-called liberals would do it. They wouldn't do it harshly. They would do it for your own good. They would arrest you. You know. Bob, New York City, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Dr. Mike, how are you doing? Regarding these plagues, you know, I think I agree with you because you know why I say that? In the Bible, you could get the weather report from God. I mean, it's throughout the whole Bible. And it says a lot of different things.
Well, look at the Bible. Floods. We had floods. There are biblical proportions in Iowa, and food and corn prices are going to be double next year. That's going to wreck the world's food economy. And we haven't even seen the beginnings of that. We have fire in California. The air is abysmal here in California. You know, it's going on and on and on. The plagues. Women are killing their own firstborn. Their own firstborn Savage. They're killing.
Go, go! Go, Johnny, go! Go! Go, Johnny, go! Go! Go, Johnny, go! Go! Go!
It is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. I can't say we're really talking about the seven plagues and have they hit the United States, but, you know, sometimes it makes you wonder. Fire, yeah, well, we have fire. Vermin, we have vermin. Boils, we have boils. Darkness, we have darkness. Death of the firstborn, we have it. We have women electing to kill their firstborn. They don't even need an enemy to kill their firstborn. They're electing to put a knife into the hearts of their own firstborn and cut their hearts out. You show you how mad a society is? No, they don't even need an enemy to come in and kill their firstborn. They're lining up around the block, going to clinics to have their own firstborn killed. Now, we know God sent these plagues against Egypt, and we can't say, well, that's old-fashioned stuff for primitives who don't, you know, can't reason, those old olive growers in ancient Israel. What did they know? You know, they had to be frightened by the old ways. Well, there's an awful lot of learned, intelligent people who would say, wait a minute, let's just use logic here. Wait a minute, we have fires out of control. We have vermin out of control. We have boils out of control. Take a look at the diseases in this country. Darkness, death of the firstborn. We have it now. What do you need God to come down and sit down and have a town hall meeting on Fox News for you to understand that God speaks in interesting ways? You ever heard the song, every time I hear a newborn baby cry or touch the leaves or see the sky, then I know why I believe? Remember a song like that? Well, no one could write a song like that and get it published with the earring-wearing degenerates in the music business. Oh, no. No, no, that would only be for the Bible Belt folk, the dummies down in the, you know, the Southeast. Not the sophisticated folks who do it in the road. No, 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 no. But God doesn't talk. God doesn't talk. He doesn't speak from a mountain with tablets in his hand. God speaks to us in silent ways, without words. He speaks to us without words, and that's why I'm worried. I'm worried because I think this is only the beginning. I think this country has so turned from its founding ways as a righteous nation, turning from authoritarianism with Pelosi, with Obama on the horizon saying they're in favor of clamping down on free speech and controlling us, where the civil servants would no longer be civil nor servants, but they would grab all the power to themselves. That's what a Pelosi, the Mussolini-like woman of the day, would want to do. That's what Obama stands for, if you read his positions and look at his policies. For all of McCain's failings, there's not a hint of authoritarianism in the man. If anything, he's too nice. That's the only problem with McCain, is he's too wishy-washy. So we're in very strange times, and the worst is yet to come. Yeah, the government's done a great job of keeping our wonderful friends from the Middle East at bay. Give them credit for that. We know they're here. Every day you see of arrests of people who were casing dams and military bases and were supposed to sweep that under the rug and say they have no effect. Good luck. I mean, thank God for the FBI and for the Justice Department and whatever agencies are involved, Homeland Security, I think, in catching these sons of the devil, these sons of the devil walking around this country, spitting at us, mocking us, laughing at us, because they know that we've been tied up like Lilliputians by the liberals in the courts. Most of us see them and know what they're doing. They can look in their eyes and you can see the hate. What do you think, we're blind and dumb? We know they're laughing at us and mocking us. We see it under those filthy burkas. We see the hate in the eyes underneath the burkas. To me, it's a Ku Klux Klan member in a dark color. Put that down and see if I care. Come to a country like this filled with freedom and try to impose chattel slavery upon women. And liberal women say that we're the mean ones. In Iran right now, the Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, who these liberal SOBs say we should have a dialogue with, this throwback way beyond Hitler, he's a throwback to Haman. The so-called president of Iran has a proposed law that would make leaving Islam, the state religion, punishable by death. And liberals in this country say that we should have a dialogue with such a man? There's only one dialogue that man understands, and that's looking up and seeing a cruise missile as it slams into his podium, with him with those filthy throwback mullahs, sending them all where they belong, back where they came from. Christian converts in Iran must hide faith. President's proposed law would make leaving Islam, the state religion, punishable by death. You want a dialogue with a man like this? This man will plunge the entire world into nuclear holocaust unless he is stopped. Mark my words, he's more dangerous than Hitler. He is an equal despot to Hitler. Only perhaps a bit more dangerous. Because while Nazism was an ideology that approached a religion, this SOB in platform shoes, Ahmadinejad, uses a religion as his platform, uses a religion, and bamboozles ignorant people around the world into thinking that their own religion says that they can kill Christians and kill people who convert or move away from Islam. That this so-called mumbo-jumbo book that he quotes, which he made up, says that it's okay to kill anyone who leaves Islam. Can you believe this? Do you know that last year, the state of Iran financed a $5 million film called Jesus, the Spirit of God? And what was in this film that was funded by this devil? Well, it was an Islamic version of the life of Jesus. And the movie depicts Jesus as a tormented prophet who was not crucified or resurrected. Instead, his disciple Judas Iscariot was crucified in his place. Now, did the director make it up? Oh, no. This premise about Jesus is actually based on the teachings of the Quran and the putative gospel of Barnabas, a disciple of Jesus. And Iran will now recycle it in a 20-episode serial aired on state-run television. And so anybody in this country who believes that we need dialogue with the Hitler of our time, you not only should have your head examined, you should be ashamed of yourself. Dialogue does not work with people of this nature. That's what cruise missiles were developed for. dialogue does not work with throwbacks to the 11th century. That's what cruise missiles were developed for. Dialogue does not work with retrograde human beings like this. That's what cruise missiles were developed for. And so you ought to be thankful that I'm only a man who is basically hollering in the wilderness here, a man without power. I have no podium whatsoever. I have a microphone. And since I do not exist, and since no one listens to me, it makes no difference what I think. What's important is to listen to the important men on the cable channels, the important women on the cable channels. They're the ones who really know what's going on. They know everything. Just ask them. They won't cover anything of importance. They cover missing children. They cover hurricanes and tornadoes. And they cover murders and rapes. But they will not cover the rape of our culture. They will not cover the rape of our civilization. They will not cover the rape of our borders. They will not cover the rape of our language. They will not cover the rape of our civilization. That's why they maintain. That's how they maintain their jobs. We have such power in this country to save ourselves. We have such enormous power through the media to save ourselves, but they all seem to be living in some sort of terror of these nefarious groups. As I said, you used to see in recruitment posters, it said, Uncle Sam wants you. A young boy would walk down the street and he would say, okay, maybe I can serve my country. I'll enlist. There is not a newspaper you can pick up. There is not a television show that you can turn on the major networks. There is not a news site, whether it be Yahoo or AOL, that does not promote the homosexual agenda on a daily basis. Every day, Uncle Damned wants you. Recruiting, 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 recruiting the children. I'm watching the madness. I'm just one man watching the madness. Thank God I still have free speech. For however long it is good, it is good. Albany, New York. John, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
How you doing, Mr. Savage? Pleasure to be on the air. I just wanted to say that I encourage you to continue to align everything that's occurring with the Bible. And as you were speaking a little while ago, I was just thinking of where it says, you know, the Lord speaks once, yea, twice, in a dream and in a vision, but man perceives it not. Men are having a very difficult time perceiving what has taken place because they're not aligning the events of these times, which the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows, with the scriptures. And it says that God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that is exactly what's taking place. It's not so much the wrath of God right now that is being poured out, because that will eventually occur. But right now, men are being judged because they're not judging themselves. And if they would judge themselves.
Beautifully put, very eloquent. You would be or may be a good preacher. There's no question about it. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not depressed or anything today. Don't think I'm sad or depressed. I'm a little tired. We, you know, it's been a very long 6 months here, the beginning of this year. We in the radio business just completed what is known as the spring book the other day, which is a rating book. Normally, there would be a week hiatus between the spring rating book and the summer rating book, and I normally take the week off. This year, there's no such hiatus. It's next day we're in the summer book, ratings book. I could take the time off anyway. Trust me, you'd still be here. If I was gone for a month, you'd be here anyway. I know that. There was a period I was taken off the air once for 2 months, and I came back, and my audience was bigger than ever. People don't forget the truth, and they don't forget truth sayers. They look for them, and they want to find them. But that's neither here nor there. It's not about me. What I'm saying to you is that we're all being tried every day. Things are very tough. So you say, well, what about – well, how are we being tried? Look at the gasoline prices. We know something's wrong with the picture. We know that there's oil under our own land. We know that there's oil offshore. We know there's oil in Alaska. We own that land. And yet, whatever the reasons, left, right, whatever you want to believe, the powers called the cartel, the oil cartel, is behind why we don't drill there. They say they want to drill there. I don't believe it for a minute. They're probably funding the anti-drilling movement and the anti-drilling opposition, just as the when Prohibition came in, who profited the most when alcohol was prohibited? That's when the mafia boomed, because they sold alcohol. So if you were the oil cartel, what would you want? You want to make sure your supply is limited. So who would you fund? Those who are in favor of not drilling. So you'd fund liberal groups who say don't drill. You know, you understand what I'm saying to you? You think that you're seeing it? You're not seeing the curveball. You're not seeing the slide balls here. They could drill. They could drill plenty. They could build overnight. They could do it. Overnight, we could solve this energy crisis. Of course, I've said it for 2 years now. Where would I? Okay, there's a miracle. Michael Savage is now in charge. What does he do day one? He sends a message to Mexico. We're sending in the military, and we're going to pump oil out of your country. We're going to build a pipeline, but first we're going to truck it. And you're going to pay us back for the millions of illegal aliens here who've sucked our social system dry. They've been sending $15 billion a year home to your country. Good luck to them. Now we want payback. Your resource that we need is oil. We need it now. It's a national emergency, and we're taking it. That's all there is to it. Who's going to stop us? It's in our national security. We want oil for illegals. That was in liberalism as a mental disorder. Now, what is my latest proposal? We liberated these ingrates called Iraqis. 24 million ingrates are liberated. We've spent, what, $1 trillion? Nobody really knows. How many men are dead? How many are mutilated for life? How many families are destroyed from this liberation? Quite a few, countless, 20, 30, 40,000 more. I don't know how many families have been affected by the war. How about the Iraqis? Okay, how do we get paid back? How do we, the people, get paid back? What does Iraq have that we need? Does Iraq have anything we need? Sure. Well, is it sand? No, we don't need the sand. Do we need their heat? No, we don't need their heat. Do we need their hummus? No. Where do we need their camels? No. What do we need? We need their oil. Where's the oil? They're sitting on one of the largest oil reserves in the world, in Iraq. And it could be pumped right now. Pumped and transported right to the United States of America. Oil for war? No. War for oil? No. How about paying us back for what we gave them? That's number two. I'd start that the next day. So I don't need to listen to this cretin Obama or this old man McCain. What do you think? I need them for ideas? They're not Winston Churchill. If there was a Winston Churchill, I'd be in the audience cheering the man. I'd have tears in my eyes that we finally had some salvation, some brains. I don't see any brains out there. It's all the same rubbish, the same kind of rubbish that people on television keep replaying over and over again for morons. I just gave you more wisdom than you heard in the whole campaign. More concrete wisdom for our energy crisis than you heard the entire campaign. You don't read about it anywhere, do you? But my loyal listeners who tune in get this from me every day. Sometimes I goof around. Sometimes I'm off the wall. Sometimes I make a mistake verbally. I understand that. Nobody can do this without making mistakes. I'm not a politician where I get to polish a speech and then give it and deliver it and it's controlled and everything's perfect. I could do that. I could do that and sound as good as anyone's ever sounded in American history. But this is my fate right now, is to be in front of a microphone and do it on the natch. Stumble if need be. Walk around like with impediments if need be. Stutter if need be. Play the fool if need be. But slowly but surely, maybe the people will awaken to the fact that we're being lied to. We're being deceived. We're being set up and sold out. There's a border crisis? Sure, there's a border crisis. The federal government wants the border crisis. What's the U.S. military for? What's the National Guard for? The National Guard's to go to Iraq? To liberate Shia from Sunni and Sunni from Shia? That's what the National Guard was created for? Put that before the Supreme Court. The National Guard was created for work here, not there. They were never intended to be sent overseas. This is a giant game because Bush didn't have the political horsepower to get an act of war and do a regular call-up. So he took these poor guys and he started sending them over to Iraq where they were never, ever supposed to go, ever. The entire National Guard should be used on our border with Mexico. That's where the crisis, that's how the crisis can be solved, with our National Guard on our borders. Nothing in, nothing out. Nothing in, nothing out, unless it goes through our National Guard. You want to see a border crisis averted? You want to see a sovereignty reasserted? Use the National Guard here, not there. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You don't remember me, but I remember you. 'Twas not so long ago.
Talking about liberalism, the mental disorder, and the damage it's doing to the society, let me give you an example here in San Francisco. A member of the ruthless, dangerous street gang, MS-13, was arraigned today with three counts of murder. He slayed a father, Tony Bologna, 48. He killed his sons, Michael, age 20, and Matthew, age 16. He killed them for nothing. A cold-blooded monster of a murderer appeared shackled at the waist in a jail jumpsuit. A large tattoo of the Salvadoran national crest visible on the back of his closely shaved head. So here you have an illegal alien who had been arrested previously and are insanely liberal district attorney, Kamala Harris, who should be arrested today, by the way, for murder, as a complicit in murder, for aiding and abetting a murderer. This man was arrested previously, this murderer, and she released him. She said there was not enough evidence to keep him arrested. Did you hear this? Did you hear what I just said to you? Now, what do you do with a district attorney who is responsible for the murder of a whole family, of a father and two sons? What does this do to the police of this city? The people in the city are brain dead. They got exactly the kind of schmuck mayor they deserve. They got exactly the kind of police chief they deserve. They got exactly the kind of DA they deserve, because they're a bunch of brain dead ghouls walking around the streets of San Francisco. All they care about is what they stuff their face or go to a ball game. What city in the world would not call for the immediate arrest of a DA? They'd be outside her office today. The mother is heartbroken. Lost her husband and her two sons. The guy who killed him is a stone-hearted murderer from MS-13 who had been arrested before. And she said there's not enough evidence to keep him, so we're going to release him to the streets. Because we're good liberals. And we don't want to pick on illegal aliens. After all, he was only found with a gun. He was only found with a gun prior to this. There wasn't enough evidence to hold him. So my headline is, gang murderer of father and two sons was released by liberal San Fran DA. Escaped prosecution in a weapons case earlier this year. Now, I want to remind you, this was not an ordinary weapons case that this psychopathic DA threw out. The guy was an illegal alien, a member of a dangerous street gang, found with a gun, and she said, no problem. No problem. We're a sanctuary city. We love illegal aliens. We even love illegal aliens if they're gang members, because they're better than white people. Anybody but a normal white man is welcome in San Francisco to these psychopaths. So there it is. They had a chance to keep him. He escaped prosecution in a weapons case earlier this year when Kamala Harris, the San Francisco DA's office, concluded it did not have enough evidence to connect him to a gun. Today, a father and two sons are dead. The DA should be in prison.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation on Rock and Roll Friday. We'll get to Rock and Roll of Winston Churchill in a minute. But I want to go back to a subject, a very, very amazing story, alarming, out of San Francisco. A family was wiped out the other night. A father going to work after a barbecue with two grown sons, executed by a gang member, a member of the MS-13 gang, without a word being said to them. They were just shot dead in their car. Now, that would be bad enough. It turned out that we all learned, I'm shocked by it, that the district attorney, a long-standing anti-police liberal, Kamala Harris, who did not even seek the death penalty in the murder of a policeman here a few years back, that this DA, Kamala Harris, declined to file charges against this gangbanger when he had been arrested last spring on a gun charge. He was initially charged by San Francisco prosecutors who found them in a car with a gun with another guy. A cop pursuing them saw this guy throw the gun. The guy who did the murder, they saw him throw the gun down. She said there was not enough evidence. He was not arrested. Now this family is dead. Now, police cited numerous documented contacts that officers had had with this guy Ramos and said he was an active member of the MS-13 street gang. They knew it. The cops knew it. They knew who he was. The gun that they found in the car, by the way, back in March 30th, this is a shocker of all. The gun that had been used, that they found in the car, that the cops found in the gun, the gun that was found in the car in March had been used the day before Ramos and his friend Lopez were arrested to kill two men, Phyllis Ng of San Francisco and Ernad Joldik of Daly City. They were shot dead before 2 a.m. in their car by this gun. So these are very dangerous, bloodthirsty murderers walking the streets of San Francisco. They're arrested on the gun charge by the cops who risked their lives to get them. And this liberal district attorney, Kamala Harris, long known to oppose the death penalty, long known to hate the police, long known to hate the social order, says, no, we don't have enough charge. We're going to release him. Now a father and two grown sons are dead. Is there an outrage in the city? Nothing. Nothing happened. Why? Because San Francisco is an interesting city. The people are not bad people, but they're a people interested only in their sensual pleasures. All they care about is where they ate, stuffing their face, and this, and what vacation they went on. In other words, they're like the average person. The day of people getting agitated over anything is over, so we have uncivil servants running the city into the ground. Despotic, uncivil servants who are no longer civil nor servants, but psychopaths who are dedicated to their agenda. San Francisco, Alex, welcome to the Savage Nation. Do you agree with my assessment, or do you disagree?
Oh, wholeheartedly. And the motivation for my phone call was you asked, how does that make the police department feel? I can't speak for the entire police department, but I can speak for myself. It's not the first killer that she's had in custody and released, and it's not going to be the last. It's something that you just deal with, or at least I deal with, by you put it out of your mind. And
so, Alex, you're a current SFPD officer?
San Francisco police officer, yes, sir.
Well, how do you put up with a district attorney who takes your work, all of your hard work, and throws it out? Why is she on the side of gangbangers? Do you think she's owned by them? You know, there was just a case in Oakland of a city manager there who was finally arrested in Oakland because she tipped off her own nephew to a police raid. At least they had the nerve to fire her. Why is this woman not found out here? What's going on?
It's just status quo with the people in the government that make the decisions.
But how do the cops put up with it? How do they get up and put on a vest every day and go out in these dangerous streets? You know that America does not even know there's a homicide epidemic that's out of control in San Francisco because all they're talking about is Harry marrying Marvin. They're making it sound like it's a wonderful city filled with rosebuds. It's a city filled with dead bodies.
The satisfaction of the job that I get is the immediate time that you're driving the radio car down the street, these cowards aren't going to be shooting innocent people. I can't say that once you're gone, but when you're in the neighborhoods where these cowards prey, the majority of the residents are good people, and they thank us for being there, and they are safe for the moment that we are there. Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to constantly be on every street. But that's
now, let me ask you about this Kamala Harris. Why is she still the district attorney with such a track record that is so demoralizing to the city and to the police? Who keeps her in power? Who put her there?
A better answer than that than me for that. But it's because of the I would say just the extreme liberal politics that go on in this city. The police department has a very conservative bend to it, and we laugh off the fact that she will release a person that will punch us in the face, whereas in any other city, those people would be doing jail time.
So if a cop gets punched, she releases them too?
Those charges are dropped in the interest of justice.
There has to be a revolution in San Francisco's thinking for this city to become safe for families again. Right now, it's an open city that is as dangerous as a city can be. It's glossed over with this gay marriage garbage. It's glossed over with the restaurant scene. But underneath it all is a very mean, dangerous, dirty city. Thanks for the call, man. I'm on your side. That's all I can say. The DA should be jailed, in my opinion. There should be an arrest of Kamala Harris by federal marshals for aiding and abetting a gangbanger. If she released a gangbanger, and this man went on to kill. Is she not, in your opinion, somewhat guilty of this murder? Yes or no? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Widow pleads for death penalty. She says home is cold and silent after husband and her two sons were executed in San Francisco. And that's Mrs. Bologna. Her husband, Tony, 48, the couple's sons, Michael, 20, and Matthew, 16, were shot and killed as they drove home from a family barbecue in Fairfield, California. So the mother goes home to the house, and she says it was extremely cold. It was empty. It was the coldest silence. It was hard seeing my kids' things all over, my husband's shoes, his work stuff, his clothes, jackets all over. And now she wants the very same DA, Kamala Harris, she has a name, Kamala Harris, who has pledged never to seek the death penalty, to understand a little of what she must endure and to seek the death penalty for her family's killer. Now, why is she appealing to an uncivil servant? The fact of the matter is, this DA failed to prosecute this murderer back a few months ago when he was found with a gun in his car. Is there no crime in the failure to prosecute a crime? There's no crime in the failure to prosecute a criminal? Do you think that the blood of these three men, these innocent men, is on the hands of the DA? Should there be culpability in the DA? Yes or no? The progressives in this city are very sick. They're very ill. But now it's coming home to roost. How many more innocent people in this city have to die because this DA is interested in pursuing a political agenda? The fact of the matter is, can anyone name the last person convicted of a major crime in San Francisco? Can anyone listening to this show name someone who was convicted of a major crime in San Francisco? Do you understand why we have a homicide epidemic? Do you understand why the gangbangers rule the streets? They're not afraid of anything. They're not afraid of the police because they know that they'll be able to get out the same day if they're arrested at all. Something's wrong with this picture. And that's why I tell you that liberalism is not only a mental disorder, it's a very dangerous mental disorder. And what this DA is doing here in San Francisco is what the Attorney General appointed by Obama would do to this nation. The reason I'm spending time on this local story on this national show is simple. If you want to see socialism, liberalism, progressive values at work, then look at the dead man and his two sons, and look at the complicity of the DA in having released the murderer, an illegal alien, by the way, an illegal alien who was arrested and released by her. She said there was not enough evidence to hold him on the last gun charge. And the gun, by the way, that was found in the car then was used in a murder the night before. So you have a cold-blooded murderer on the streets because of the district attorney. And this is the kind of person that Obama would appoint to be the Attorney General of the United States. And so, therefore, if a dirty bomb would be set off in this country, God forbid, a year or two from now, and that dirty bomber would be brought before the Attorney General's office or the Justice Department under Obama, they would say, what, there's not enough evidence? We don't have actual videotape and DNA evidence showing this man from Egypt or this man from Saudi Arabia or this man from Pakistan. He's only being persecuted because he's got a foreign-sounding name like our president. We're going to release him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I mean, I gotta stop at a certain point. I'm dealing with insane liberals from the mayor down. Zoe, San Francisco, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I'm a current detective with the San Francisco Police Department, and I've always voted Democratic. And the past month, I've listened to your show, and I have to say I'm really drawn to your enthusiasm and straight intelligence. Harris is a complete disaster and embarrassment to the city. I cannot tell you how many times I presented cases to this lady, and she has completely folded on me. She's in that office because she's special interest. Her best friend is Gavin Newsom. They don't care about people. They care about special interest and going to Paragon for dinner and charging it to the city so we can pay for their fancy suits and expensive clothing. And
how can you say that about Gavin Newsom? He's such a nice, good man who cares only about the illegal immigrant and the gay community. You know that he's a compassionate man.
No, that's
by the way, where is this this dodo today? After a murder like this, has this dodo been heard from?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Our entire department is in shambles right now over this family's heartbreak. Dr. Savage, we put drunk drivers back behind the wheel and they go kill somebody. We can't set examples for nothing anymore. We're fighting a dead-end battle and our eyes and ears are just completely teared.
Well, Zoe, there needs to be a conservative revolution in San Francisco. The majority of people here are not left-wingers. They run the newspaper. They run the political machinery. But the fact of the matter is, I can guarantee you that if you went and polled the Chinese community, that community is highly conservative. If you polled even the Latino community, they're highly conservative, and they're steeped in family values. You look at the Irish community, the Italian community. Tell me how these people are elected over and over again, even though they commit travesties like this. Explain this to me, will you please? I'll explain it to you. Because of the large numbers of illegal aliens who are being used to vote. This is a totally corrupt political machine, and it caters only and solely to the homosexual community in this city.
Oh, yeah, manipulation. If you are an immigrant, you're going to get off because of the sympathy vote. She's in office because she's a woman. She's an African-American woman. If we pick on her, we're racist. We can't say get this trash out of office.
Kamala Harris is an African American. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she does have African American in her background. Absolutely.
I had no idea. I just thought she was a complete and total incompetent. I had no idea that there was a statement about race because I had no idea what her race was. To me, it was not race based. Look, she had this man and she released him on a gun charge. Now a family is dead. What happens now? What are the police saying, Zoe? You're a detective. What are they saying?
You know what we're saying, Michael? What has come to this city? What are we going to do? I put that badge on. I put that gun around my waist. I want to honor my city. And unfortunately, my higher-ups that I have to answer to look at me like I'm crazy. What are you doing picking on a minority? What are you doing? Come on, give them a break. You come from a bad background. I'm sick and tired of feeling sorry for these people, Michael. I'm tired of it. This is my city. I fight for this city, and this trash needs to go. And I can't thank God enough for stumbling across your radio station, sitting on the Bay Bridge one day, and God thanked me for finding a man that is willing to stand up to this city. I'm telling you, we got a lot of people in the department that back you, Dr. Savage. And if I could
Zoe, let me tell you something. A lot of people back me in this city and across America. The problem is the newspapers and the politicians are all progressive psychotics. Most of them are on medication. I know it for a personal fact. They're buying their medication under assumed names. They're sick people. And we are permitting mentally ill people to run our cities and our states and our nation into the ground. But it's the cops and the detectives out there who are really being heartbroken. They're the ones who have the guts to go out and face these animals, and I don't know how you even do it. Here you are a woman and you have the guts to put on the vest and the gun and go out only to see the case thrown out. This will end eventually, Zoe. As all things, the pendulum will swing and San Francisco will once again be liberated from this progressive socialism. When, I don't know. How long it's going to be, I don't know. But one day this rubbish, not only the illegal alien criminal rubbish, but these progressive rubbish leaders, this rubbish will be thrown out. The people will rise up. I don't know what it's going to take. This is the worst case I've ever seen in my life. How can they sit there after a father and two sons are snuffed out by an illegal alien who had been arrested and released by Kamala Harris? Where is the mayor today?
Yeah, exactly. You want to know where he's at?
Where is the mayor today? What restaurant is he putting in his face today for nothing, like you say? Where is he? What gay wedding is he getting ready to officiate over with the big smile that the newspaper will run tomorrow? He should be ashamed of himself.
Yes, he should. Yes, he should.
Let me tell you, he's behind all of this. Never mind Kamala Harris. He could have fired her. He could have replaced her with a real one. He could have gotten rid of that police chief, that joke. Why don't you tell the nation about the police chief?
You know what, Zoe?
Don't say another word because they're listening to this show. They'll know who you are, and I don't want any ramifications falling upon you. Let me say this. If there are ramifications, you've got an avenue to the United States of America and the Savage Nation. I don't know that we can do anything, but we can appeal to the U.S. attorney. Maybe he can help you if, God forbid, they should try to quash your free speech. Maybe they'll put out an edict saying you can't call radio talk shows because in the new San Francisco, we're so progressive that we believe in no free speech. Thanks for the call. No, this story really got to me. This was the final tinderbox for me because you can only imagine, what if it was you? What if it was you? What if you're a working man and you have two grown sons and you're coming back from a family barbecue and you make one wrong turn in your city somewhere in America in a little alley and a gangbanger's car is coming the other way and without a word you back up and then they kill you and your sons and the DA does nothing and the mayor disappears to a gay wedding. Savage. What would you do? San Francisco has been plagued by progressive liberalism for a long time, but it's never reached this point. There's a triple killing. A father and two grown sons was executed by a member of the MS-13 gang, an illegal alien at that. Now, the triple killing suspect had escaped prior prosecution in San Francisco just months ago. The suspected gang member accused of killing a father and two sons happened to escape prosecution in a gun case early this year, when the very same San Francisco DA, Kamala Harris, concluded it did not have enough evidence to indict him. Well, the federal government needs to step in here. We need federal assistance in the city of San Francisco. We need a federal intervention in the city. It must be taken over by the federal government. We cannot take it anymore. I am very serious. We need federal intervention in this city. Did you hear what I just said to you? There is something wrong with a criminal element in this city that is out of control. The politicians are out of control. Now, I would like to know what the people, why they're taking this. I'd like to know which community in America would tolerate this level of violence. I would like to know what it's going to take to have federal intervention where the city is taken away from this mayor who is incompetent. And a federal task force is put in to save the city from itself. I have to say thank you to the police officers on the gang task forces who risked their lives and their sanity trying to go after these ruthless killers every day. This is not only a San Francisco problem, this is an international problem. An international problem. These gang members are terrorists, and they should be, in my opinion, arrested under both the RICO Act and the Patriot Act should be used to investigate possible connections to higher-ups who are protecting them. Houston, Texas, AJ, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, it's too damn late, Mike. They've got the doggone people all covered. The lady's on the take. That gang is so ruthless that nobody wants to do it. I feel so sorry for them officers because they can't even say a word. It's unimaginable American people will let somebody take over our country like this. Because all of them, Mike, they all in the deal, and it's money involved, and I guarantee you that woman is on the take. It's just like the same I was telling people about Obama. I'm a black man. I don't want to vote for Obama because he's black. I want somebody in there that's going to protect this country and do the right thing about getting us out of this junk that we're in. How you going to vote for somebody that don't want to drill? Ideology. It's ideology. And people in this country, Mike, I just get so fed up. I'm trying to...
Correct. Now, his ideology is the ideology that I was trying to warn the people about. It's the same ideology that we have in San Francisco, which is to quench, to squash all criticism, to see the civil servants no longer civil and no longer servants, but little despots of their own. That's what you're talking about. That's what socialism is. When the civil servants are no longer civil and no longer servants, but act as God Almighty. Isn't that what you're mad about here, AJ?
You, sir, Mike, it don't take but common sense to do the right thing in this world. Old man told me a long time ago, sometimes it's better to see and don't speak. And you can learn a lot without seeing. I mean, with seeing and don't opening your mouth. And if you're going to sit here, how can these politicians look at our country and say it's all right? Come on, Mike.
AJ, well, now, what do you think about the few people in America who are willing to speak up, like yourself and others who call talk radio, and the hosts who have to take a certain degree of risk in speaking out for the right and for the truth? When you have Nancy Pelosi, who disguises herself as a so-called progressive and liberal, who says she's in favor of killing free speech by putting out talk radio, just turning it off like a dictator. What do you think about that?
I've been having no nobody heard nothing about the Israel thing. Nobody's talked about it. Everybody in America is asleep. Mike, I want to say it, but I'm going to keep it to myself. America going to have to wake up, man. Nobody talked about that but you. And I'm trying to figure out what is wrong with these people, man. Our kids are out of whack. The world is out of whack. People taking stuff, gays doing what they want to do. Mike, we got to take this doggone place back. And that Horizon got to hurry up and get here, baby, because time is very short for us. I'm telling you, Mike.
Jay, listen, I hear the righteous indignation in your voice, and I'm not sitting here cynically like Mr. Talk Show Big Shot saying what a great call it is. I am telling you that if we had hundreds of thousands of people like you calling in any manner, calling talk shows all day long with anger and outrage, we would get a new government. We'd get the government that we deserve, not this group of progressives that we have who are more concerned with so-called justice than the so-called rights of criminals. Thank you for the call, AJ. You're not alone. Not at all. The buck stops in the mayor's office. The buck stops in the mayor's office, and he's nowhere to be seen. He said nothing to the widow of that family. I guess he's getting his tuxedo ready to officiate at another Tusum Newsom ceremony. There's nothing I could say anymore. There's nothing more I can say about this story. It's up to you. New York, Odalis, welcome to the Savage Nation. What do you think?
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to talk to you. I'm a high school teacher, and you don't know the battle I have every single day with my students. They come from different parts of the world, and the only thing they say, Colombia, Guatemala, whatever country it is better. They don't want to study.
Why don't they go back where they came from if it's better?
It's so much better that I said, well, if you think it's better, I'm going to buy you a one-way ticket, and you go back, and you don't
So they
back.
Come here with the attitude that they have come from a better country, then what are they doing here? Why are they here?
So they're making a fool out of themselves. I don't know what they're doing here. I have one...
Where do they get that from, that their country, their homeland that they ran, that their parents ran from is better? Who's putting that in their stupid heads? You know who's putting it in their stupid heads? The white liberals are putting it in the heads of these Latino gangbangers that they are free to roam the city and do what they want, and the white man doesn't even deserve his own country. That's who's poisoning their mind. It's the white communist who's doing it. Make no mistake about it. Thank you for the call. I know what's going on. And if you think I'm the first one to see the truth and not wait, you're wrong. Listen to clip 4. Listen now to Winston Churchill.
Socialism is in its essence an attack not only upon British enterprise, but upon the right of an ordinary man or woman to breathe freely without having a harsh, clumsy, tyrannical hand clapped across their mouths and nostrils. A free parliament. Look at that. A free parliament is odious to the socialist doctrinaire.
Now, the next clip is even better, where Churchill says words that are so applicable to the coming election that they're worth listening to. And I'll read it to you first, and then you're going to listen to him. He's such a great speaker, but he speaks in an accent that's so antiquated in a way to America that I don't think you'll understand half the words. You may need a translator. He says, I must tell you that a socialist policy is abhorrent to our ideas on freedom. There is to be one state to which all are to be obedient in every act of their lives. That's what Nancy Pelosi wants. This state, once in power, will prescribe for everyone where they are to work, what they are to work at, where they may go, and what they may say, what views they are to hold, where their wives are to quay up for the state ration, and what education their children are to receive. A socialist state could not afford to suffer opposition. No socialist system can be established without a political police. They, the liberals, would have to fall back on some sort of Gestapo. We have this Gestapo. It is called the Diversity Training Police. It is called the EEOC. It is called the ACLU. They are the legal Gestapo of our time. Play that piece of speech, please.
No socialist system can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea. That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading them. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would
free,
have to fall back.
Hold it. Free, sharp, and even violent words of discontent. Do you understand that the man is talking about free speech itself? That the First Amendment was not written to protect polite speech? I have told you this for 15 years. The First Amendment was written to protect my speech, my unpopular speech in an increasingly progressive liberal concentration camp of the mind. That's what the First Amendment was for. It was not written for your polite speech. It was not written to protect the fakers on television, the fakers on the evening news. They don't need the First Amendment. They could happily work for the Soviet Union of the past. There's nothing they say that offends anybody. They don't need the First Amendment. I need the First Amendment. And by the way, as a side note, I want to thank all of you who contributed very heavily this week to the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund. Make no mistake about it. The enemies of freedom in this city tried to drive me off the air last spring by marching outside my radio station. They got the poor Latino immigrants fired up. It was communists. It was white communist lawyers. I know them by name. I know who they are. I know where their Mission Street clinics are, and they have a communist agenda that they're pushing. They're using the Latinos, the poor Latino workers, as their pawns in their bigger game to impose socialism on this country. I'll give you the lawyers' names and their addresses very shortly, maybe next week if I'm up to it. I'll give you the guy's exact name and address and who he is and where he works if you want to know who's behind these people and what they're trying to foment in this country. But they're not important right now. then they got this group Care After Me, who try to drive me off the air. But I will remind you that free speech was written for offensive speech. It was written to protect offensive speech, violently offensive speech. The First Amendment was not written to protect polite speech any more than the Second Amendment was written to give the power of the gun to the state solely. The Second Amendment was written to give the power of the gun to the people, and I can prove it in one sentence. There would be no need for a Second Amendment if there was even a question as to where the power of the gun should lie. In other words, why would we have needed a Second Amendment? Why would the framers of our Constitution have even written a Second Amendment unless they knew that a government of corrupt Kamala Harris's, a government of out-of-touch dodos like Gavin Newsom, a government of phonies like Obama, would seize all power and put all the power in their own hands and seize the power of the gun and give it only to their people and make sure you didn't have it. Do you understand why the Second Amendment was written? Well, it was written to protect the First Amendment. Don't you get it? Think about that. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation. Savage. Says violence in San Francisco has gone too far. The widow and the mother of the three men executed in triple homicide by an illegal alien member of a violent street gang who had been arrested several months ago but not held because of Kamala Harris, the district attorney, because the mayor, who was busy dancing at gay weddings. Now three men are dead, in my opinion. Prosecutors filed three counts of murder and other charges Thursday against Edwin Ramos, 21, an alleged street gang member who police say opened fire on the Bolognas after their car briefly blocked Ramos from completing a left turn down a narrow street. The charges include special circumstances that could carry the death penalty. But Kamala Harris, the DA, has long promised to not seek the death penalty in the city. After taking strong criticism for quickly ruling out the death penalty against the gang member ultimately convicted of killing San Francisco police officer Isaac Espinoza in 2004, Harris has since delegated such decisions to a committee of prosecutors in her office. Capital punishment, however, has yet to be sought. On Thursday, Kamala Harris's office said that no decision has been made on the issue in the Bologna slayings. You hear this? Now, here's a guy killed with his sons in his own car. The wife that's left behind, Daniela, is 47. She's an educational advisor and coach at Rooftop Elementary School. And she recalled how her husband spent his days coaching sports with his four kids and nights as a supervisor in a market in San Mateo. Her eldest son was a standout athlete at age 20. He was attending college. The youngest son, who was killed by this gangbanger, was 16 and attending Lincoln High School in San Francisco. So they're coming home from a barbecue. The father had to go to work that afternoon. He had to get some sleep. He's driving in a little alley a few blocks from home. And he tries to back up to get out of the way of the car. Tony backs up. The gangbangers, without a word, coming from a violent country without any love for life, opens up on him, kills him, and his two sons were riding in the car. No altercation, no words were exchanged. The husband backs up to let the gangbanger go. Not a peep or a word out of the husband's mouth, according to the widow. With the help of a tip from a man arrested after the slayings, police quickly made an arrest of a member of a notoriously violent street gang. Sobbing, the widow says, "This animal, I just feel that I can't even give him a name. Who can just drive around looking for victims to take out? He has no conscience, just to kill people when you feel like it." DA has not been heard from. Mayor is busy putting on his tuxedo and seeing if his behind looks good in the mirror. Nowhere to be found. Mayor's getting ready for a big weekend. This, after all, is the gay pride weekend. He can't be bothered with a triple homicide. Oh, no, he's got many, many events. Many people are blowing kisses at him this weekend. You know, Nero fiddled while Rome burned, and Gavin diddled while San Francisco burns. The city is a wreck. The city is a wreck. I walk the streets of this city. It is filthy. There is dirt everywhere. There are bums everywhere. There are murderers everywhere. There are bodies littering the streets. The people are blasé. They don't care about anything in this city. All I care about is where they stuffed their face the night before and which restaurant. Article and after article about what they ate and what they drank and what this and where they went for the summer. God in heaven, how did this happen? This used to be a great working class city where people had real values. The churches used to be full. Now the churches are filled with vandals in the gutter, urinating on the steps. It's the decline and fall of the West as seen in San Francisco by Michael Savage. The Voltaire of his time. The Voltaire of his time. They said to Voltaire, "If you criticize Paris so much, why don't you just leave?" He says, "Oh, no, on the contrary. Where would I get my material from?" Voltaire wrote in France in his time. No, he said, "I love being in Paris," writing about these moronic Parisians and how they behave, their poseurs, the fakery. So I may be the Voltaire of my time, but I'm afraid to walk the streets. I don't know how the cops do their job in this city. They have no backup. They're the guilty ones with this Kamala Harris and this mayor. Duluth, Minnesota, quickly, you're on the Savage Nation. Tony, go ahead. Tony, go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear. They're in the same situation as the soldiers in Iraq, right? They're fighting a noble fight, a necessary fight, and they've got no support from the politicians that put them in there.
Yes, exactly like our U.S. Marines, who when they do their job a little too well, they're prosecuted by the United States government. This is an upside-down Alice in Wonderland world, and we the people have to do something about it. And the last thing we need is to make it even worse by electing Obama. And I'm going to say again at the end of this hour, what just happened in San Francisco with the triple murder, what just happened in the city with the triple murder, is a result of out-of-control liberalism. And just think what an attorney general with this district attorney's mentality would do to the war on terror. Just think about what would happen the next time one of our dear visitors from the Middle East would set off some kind of bomb. Or let's say they were caught just before the bomb went off on a Sunday. But there's not enough evidence to hold them, would say the new Obama attorney general. He didn't actually kill anybody. And even if someone died, he's just a poor immigrant from the Middle East. He's a Muslim, and he's being picked on because of his religion, she would say, the new attorney general, wouldn't she? We know the script. We've read the script before. Then when a nuclear bomb goes off, who would be responsible? Why, it'd be the attorney general who let the murderer go 2 months before. Just as this nuclear bomb went off in San Francisco and a whole family got wiped out, that's a nuclear bomb. There's nothing worse. This is the worst crime I've ever seen in the 20-some-odd years I've lived here. I've never seen a more heartbreaking crime in my life. Never. But because this city is such an anti-family city, nobody's crying for that widow. Very few people care it even happened. After all, this is Pride Weekend. They're getting ready to show how proud they are of Marvin marrying Billy and Harriet marrying Betty. And after all, the mayor can't be bothered with a trifle such as a triple murder. He's very busy. Got to run. I'm so busy. Got to run. I'm so busy. Many things to go to. Many ribbons to cut. Many balloons to release. I'm too busy to deal with a triple murder. I'm too busy. I must run.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
San Francisco, the people in the city who are not liberals are reeling from a true national tragedy, a real American tragedy. The family was picking out caskets for a father, a husband, and two sons who were executed in the streets of San Francisco the other night by a known gang member who had been arrested just months ago for a gun charge and released by the ultra-progressive San Francisco District Attorney Kamala Harris. And as a result, Mr. Bologna and his two sons are dead and about to be buried. Now, I want to tell you this. The United States Attorney for the District of Northern California has the right to prosecute local gangbangers like Mr. Ramos because this gang is international. We do not need to let these out-of-control maniacs like Kamala Harris destroy perfectly good cases. On the other hand, or not on the other hand, on the same hand, this city, San Francisco, needs another layer of law enforcement. It needs an elite law enforcement unit like the Special Investigation Section of the LAPD, the SIS. And their job, the SIS in L.A., is to stalk predators like Ramos and to disable them in commission of a violent crime or to arrest them. This city is out of control. It is totally out of control. The gangs are out of control. A family is gone, all because of progressive liberalism. New York City, Ann, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, the agony of that mother and wife of those three men makes me cry, and I hate illegal immigration and the gangs. I can't stand them. But until we know exactly what evidence Pamela Harris looked at, how can we condemn her and call that creep a murderer? I don't understand.
Well, let's say he was in two cars connected to five murders. Do you think he was going on the way to a Boy Scout meeting?
No.
What do you think he was doing in these two cars with guns in them connected to five murders?
The guns were connected to five murders.
That's correct.
No.
He was arrested, as I said to you, in March in another car, and the DA dismissed the case, and the gun was found to have been involved in the murder of two men the night before. He said he had nothing to do with the gun. Now he's in a car. Three men are murdered in one family. He says he has nothing to do with the gun, and his lawyer says he can easily get him off on this case. Do you want this murderer to walk the streets again because of the incompetency of the mayor and the district attorney and the San Francisco courts, the so-called judges who are not afraid of the Boy Scouts, but they're afraid of everybody else? The same goddarn judges who condemn the Boy Scouts and sit there and take this and let the streets be run by gangs, but they attack the Boy Scouts? That's the kind of judge we have in this city. What do you mean the guy is innocent until proven guilty? How many more people have to die? You see, this is liberalism. Liberals have said for generations now, this is the standard liberal line, I would rather see 99 guilty men walk free than one innocent man be imprisoned. That's the liberal line. So maybe you'll be the next victim of one of these guilty men, and you'll be a happy liberal as you're laid to rest, because at least you will know that you lived for your beliefs. Sure, you'd rather see 99 guilty men go free. You're a good liberal. But if you're knocked off with your family next time by an illegal alien, you won't have any options, will you? It will be your liberalism that laid you to rest. It will be your liberalism that laid you to rest. But make no mistake about it, this is not liberalism. This is a new form of tyranny where the liberals are actually using the gangs to intimidate the people of the city. I don't think you understand that they actually like the gang members out of control, because that way the people are terrified to do anything and to say anything. And that, excuse me, that way a corrupt bureaucracy can get away with virtually anything they want, because the people are off base day and night, worried about their own life and their own safety. And the band plays on, and they get to write budgets that are they're more engorged than a cockroach that is fed on an infected liver. They engorge themselves at the taxpayers, at the favor of the taxpayer. Again, I have to go back to Winston Churchill. I have to go back to it because this little mini case here in San Francisco, as heartbreaking as it is, this case tells you what socialism brings and how it destroys freedom, how it destroys liberty, and how it destroys pride. This is Nancy Pelosi's city. Make no mistake about it. If, God forbid, Barack Obama is engineered into the presidency, this DA, Kamala Harris, will be the new kind of attorney general that we will have, where the gangs will be roaming free around America. There will be no liberty in this country except liberty for the bureaucrats and the gangbanger. That is what is at stake here. That is exactly what's at stake here. Play clip one quickly on the way out of this segment. Go ahead, please. I personally believe that too many children are being molested.
I'm sorry, wrong one. I called for the wrong one. I meant the Churchill. It was my mistake.
Socialism is in its essence an attack not only upon British enterprise, but upon the right of an ordinary man or woman to breathe freely without having a harsh, clumsy, tyrannical hand clapped across their mouths and nostrils. A free
That's
parliament.
It. Now let's go to break. I'll be
to
right back.
Savage.
By now you've all heard about the legal case against Colonel Chassani, a soldier being tried for doing his job. Traitorous leftists like Congressman Murtha, in my opinion, have used this case as a rallying point to undermine our military heroes and for personal gain. Defending Colonel Chassani is the Thomas More Law Center, using their own resources and the money donated by the loyal listeners of the Savage Nation, as well as monies given by Michael Savage. With us now is Richard Thompson, President and Chief Counsel of the Thomas More Law Center. Mr. Thompson, welcome to the Savage Nation, and congratulations on winning the first battle on this long legal fight.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to express my appreciation for all the support that you've been giving Colonel Chassani and the other Haditha Marines, not only by using your force of personality on the air, but I don't know how many people know that you've also personally contributed several thousand dollars to the defense of Colonel Chassani and these Haditha Marines. And I want to, at the beginning, express my great thanks for your efforts on their behalf.
Now, the case was thrown out by the judge. Now they're filing an appeal. Why?
Well, Michael, I think what you have right here is a prosecution has turned into the persecution of Colonel Chassani. In a lengthy decision read from the bench by the military judge, Colonel Stephen Folsom, it was clear that the evidence showed unlawful command influence. I think that decision, when reviewed by other lawyers, is pretty rock solid. Nevertheless, the government attorneys filed an appeal, which they have a right to do, and now the matter again is in court. The government has 20 days within which to file their appeal brief, and then we have 20 days within which to respond. So the persecution of Colonel Chassani goes on, and I call it a persecution because so far, after 2 years of investigation, after all of the ridicule and the attacks that these Marines have undergone through the mainstream media, that they've been presumed guilty, not presumed innocent, that their reputations have been smeared, after all of this has gone on, where the Navy NCIS, Investigative Services, has deployed over 65 investigators all over the country to gather the evidence, has given 17 individuals immunity, they still have lost every case that they've taken to trial. They've lost 7 out of the 8 cases. The 8th case is Sergeant Witteridge's, and that's an appeal, and that has not gone to trial. So what they're trying to do, I think, is salvage something. Lieutenant Colonel Chisani is the highest-ranking officer that they charged. They don't want to let go. And this heroic Marine who spent 3 tours in Iraq, was in the first Persian Gulf War, served in Panama, is by all matter of review is one of the top combat Marine officers that the Corps has right now, is facing this persecution. It's obvious that the Marine Corps has shot itself in the foot because they have continued these investigations and these prosecutions of individuals that were only doing their job.
What does the government have to gain? Are they just trying to save face, or are they trying to plea bargain the colonel into admitting wrongdoing?
I think that's a good question, Michael, because this is what we're trying to figure out. There's something rotten in Denmark. I mean, right from the beginning, a reporter by the name of Tim McGurk, who raised the scepter of massacre, all at once, the media went into a frenzy. The Marine Corps, I think, and maybe higher up, I believe it's probably at the Secretary of Defense level, the Secretary of Navy level, immediately ordered an investigation to check into what was going on. This investigation turned into the search for a scapegoat because of the media pressure that was placed on them. They were using this as a defining moment of how bad the Iraqi war had gotten. And as you may know, Congressman Murtha jumped in immediately, and he's a fervent anti-war politician. And even before the investigation was over, was accusing these Marines of cold-blooded murder and was accusing officers of covering it up. And we had this frenzy going on. It's been going on for 2 years. Millions of dollars have been spent in the investigation. Untotal amounts of time by government prosecutors trying to convict these Marines, and they have come up with a zero as far as their conviction goes. There is something going on. There's something rotten in Denmark here, and we don't know what it is. Aside from the fact that individual careers have been destroyed by this imprudent investigation and prosecution, Colonel Ware said this: "Even more dangerous is the potential that a Marine may hesitate at the critical moment when facing the enemy." And that's really of concern to us as well. They are harming the ability of the men and women we place in harm's way to defend themselves, because they're going to be afraid that someplace down the line there is going to be a criminal prosecution where not only their careers are in jeopardy, but they also may be serving time in prison.
Well, it certainly sounds a little strange to me. How is the colonel and his family holding up through all of this?
Well, I can tell you, Michael, that they are holding up well. They're people of faith. Even in Iraq, when Colonel Chisani was in the combat zone, he'd wake up in the morning, read his Bible in the morning, read his Bible at night. They're people of very strong faith, and their faith is what is carrying them through here. Colonel Chisani is the kind of guy who is quiet. He's a stoic individual. He doesn't really show his emotion much during these trials and these hearings that are going on. But I know he is deeply hurt. I know that he feels betrayed by the Corps that he devoted his life to. And I think a lot of people in the Corps also feel that way. And so we, the American people, have suffered. We have suffered because our fighting men's hands have been tied behind their back because of the kind of prosecution that's been going on. We're suffering because we're sending a wrong signal to our combat troops that will put them in harm's way, and then they'll have to second-guess themselves before they pull the trigger.
They have 20 days to file another appeal, and you have 20 days to answer the appeal. What's going to happen?
Well, we think we have a rock-solid case. Of course, you can never guarantee what a court is going to do. But we have a system that has worked, because we do have military judges who have, through their independent judgment, have decided that there was an unlawful command influence. In fact, we look at the judges as the last sentinel of a fair trial. And as in the case of Colonel Stephen Folsom, he performed that job admirably. Also, Colonel Ware, he performed his job admirably. Hopefully, the appellate court will do the same. They'll look at the facts, they'll look at the decision, and they will also affirm what Colonel Folsom did. Of course, if they don't, we can appeal higher, and we can go all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, filing a cert for review. We are going to fight this case as hard as Colonel Chassani's Marines fought in Haditha on November 19, 2005. This is a case that we're fighting not only for the individual justice for Colonel Chassani, but for the future of the Marine Corps and for the future of America.
How much money has the government spent on this trial, meaning how much of our tax money?
Millions and millions of dollars. There's, you know, obviously the government accounting office is going to figure this out one day, hopefully. But the Naval Investigative Services said this was the largest investigation in the history of that department. We know that they used at least 65 different agents to conduct interviews. They were bringing officers off the battlefield to interview them. They had a team of prosecutors, government prosecutors. The total mission has been to prosecute these Haditha Marines. So when you put in all of their time and all of the expense that they go to through traveling, they brought Iraqi witnesses here to the United States so that their depositions would be taken. They flew to Iraq to take the depositions of other Iraqis. So it's been untold millions of dollars of taxpayer money. And even more hurtful has been the fact that we have effectively removed some of our most effective combat officers from the front lines. And that, you know, that makes the insurgents laughing in their caves. One insurgent propagandist has been able to damage the Marines' fighting effort to that extent.
Who can the people call to voice their anger that they're still persecuting Colonel Chassani?
I think call their individual congressmen or women and express their concern. I think calling the White House. The president, of course, is the commander-in-chief. He can end this with one phone call. I think the Armed Services Committee, both in the Senate and the House, have some influence over what's going to happen. But ultimately, I believe that there is going to be a decision that's going to be favorable to Colonel Chassani and to all the other Haditha Marines that have been put through this grueling 2 years of their lives because all they did was follow orders with bravery and heroism. And we should be rewarding them for that, not putting them through this hell of a prosecution and danger of being imprisoned.
Richard Thompson, thank you very much for your service in defending the colonel, and thank you very much for being there on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on, Michael. I always appreciate the opportunity to give you an update on what is happening in this case. I think it's very important for the
Savage
future of our country.
The thinking people of San Francisco are shocked by the triple killing that occurred the other night. A suspected gang member is accused of killing a father and two sons, but here's the worst part of it. He escaped prosecution in a weapons case a few months ago because the San Francisco so-called district attorney, Kamala Harris, concluded it did not have enough evidence to prosecute him. He said that he was in the car in that case, but he didn't use the gun. Now, the gun was traced to two murders then, but that, of course, wasn't enough evidence for this DA because it's a sanctuary city. And as you well know, Latinos are picked on in this city by the evil white men. And so she released them. Well, now three evil white men are killed. And the gangbanger, again, his lawyer is saying he was in the car, but he had nothing to do with it. And, of course, we haven't heard from the district attorney, nor from the mayor. He's busy, I guess, looking at himself in a long Coney Island mirror to see how well he would look tomorrow, cutting the ribbons and releasing the balloons at Gay Pride Day. Oh, yeah, all weekend it'll be gay marriage and gay pride and gay this and gay and that. All weekend, that's all we're going to hear. That's all we're going to hear is the brainwashing from Uncle Sam wants you to Uncle Sicko wants you. decent people are dying because of San Francisco progressive values. That's exactly what's going on here. This never would have happened in a conservative-run city. Never in a million years. Why do I say that? Because the cops knew who this guy was. The cops were watching him after the last arrest. This guy would have been in the slammer by now. And certainly the DA would have fried a number of these murderers, and there would have been a law out that you don't practice these killings in San Francisco because you're going to be executed. So this guy says, oh, yeah, I was in the car where these three men were killed, the father and two sons, but I didn't pull the trigger. See, I didn't pull the trigger. Now, the voters of this city knew that the mayor, Anytusum Newsom, was basically a – there's no words for him. He's not an evil man. He's not an evil man. Gavin is kind of like a child, like a grown-up child who thinks that it's all a joke and that this is a stepping stone to becoming governor or senator, probably president. And he believes that the gay marriage issue is his linchpin for the future of America. He believes America actually is in favor of gay marriage. So then he appoints Heather Fong as police chief. Another nice person. See, everyone's nice in San Francisco. This is the beautiful thing about the city. The mayor's a nice guy. Is he? And she's a nice lady. But you see, you don't need a nice person to be police chief. You need a mean, tough person to be a police chief. Now, the fact of the matter is that the police chief, Heather Fong, it came out 2 months ago that she hasn't fired a gun or qualified for weapons qualification in years. But she's the police chief. Now, what about the district attorney, Kamala Harris? Why is she the DA? Well, she's African-American in part. Apparently, she's a former has a former relationship with a previous mayor. And even African-Americans in this city are fed up with this. So they know they got what they voted for, developmentally disabled leaders. In other words, they're living in a crazy house. There's no common sense anymore. Known gangbangers go around the city with total impunity. The criminal justice system is broken. The city government and the police have become toothless. They're overpaid. They're blind. And instead, they spend their time on foreign policy positions. Against the war in Iraq. We're for stopping warming. The whole thing is crazy. It's Alice in Wonderland. Alice in Wonderland. So anyway, that's the story, and many of you are outraged. This is a story with national and international implications, that gang members are allowed to ply their trade with impunity because of progressivism in this city and in this state and in this country. So I'll take your calls on this issue. Wisconsin, Brad, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
This never should have happened. The state of California has got blood on its hands because the DA turned this night crawler loose to go out and murder this woman's family. And what's more, that the state killed this woman by proxy in the name of all these liberal idiots who are against the death penalty.
I agree with everything you just said. Now, this guy was released by this very DA because even though he was carrying a weapon, and the weapon was found to be involved in the murder of two previous people, she released him. Why did they release him?
Well,
why would she have released him? Why would she have released him when the gun was found to be tied to two previous murders?
We can't forget that illegal aliens are now royalty in this country for some reason. So they get
not amongst the people. Illegal aliens are not royalty amongst the people. Illegal aliens are used, make no mistake about it. They are being used by the businesses who want cheap labor. And they're being used by the Democrat machine who wants millions and millions of illegal voters. That's the only reason we're in this pickle. Because they've been using the illegal aliens at the polling places to steal the country from the legitimate American citizen. That's the real thing that's going on here. That's the real story. I'll take your calls here on the show. Phil, Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, remember the first Dirty Harry movie where they caught the bad guy, he killed a little girl, but they released him. The San Francisco mayor had to release him because he was wonderful. You know, it's oddly
mm-hmm.
in that movie exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to remind you, nothing poignant, but...
No, I understand. But so we need what? We need vigilantism in the city and the state and this country to survive?
wonderful criminals.
Do you think that we will wind up having, you want to talk about Dirty Harry movies? Do you think we'll have a Star Chamber evolve in this country? Star Chambers evolving around this country because of the ineptitude of the liberal politicians? Do you think people will start taking the law into their own hands? Do you think that off-duty cops and police will form cells that save us from this scourge? Do you think that's a possibility?
We'd prosecute them first.
Well, then she'd call for the death penalty, that we know. And for a case like that of a vigilante, I'm sure the mayor would take time off from a gay wedding, probably, to come back and do his job. Yeah, you're right, probably. Because we can't have vigilantism. We understand that. Thanks for the call. San Francisco, Justin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. Born and raised in San Francisco, and I'm just completely outraged and frustrated with the politics in the city. Kamala Harris should be removed from power. All right, Terrence Hallinan should have been removed from power. I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do. I argue with.
Well, wait a minute. But you're a young guy in San Francisco, aren't you? A liberal who voted for Gavin Newsom and love the progressive politics. You must.
Hey, it was either that or Amiano. What'd you want me to do? You know, less of the two evils. That's why I'm voting for McCain.
Okay, well, if you don't want a Kamala Harris-like attorney general, maybe the American people will come to understand there are consequences for the behavior of progressive dodos. Las Vegas, Mimi, your opinion counts. You're on the Savage Nation across America. Go on, please.
Oh, boy. Hello, sir. A couple of points on the San Francisco case. I think we should make an example of the gangbangers and of Mrs. Harris by not only convicting them, but also executing them.
Well, of course there should be a death penalty for a triple homicide, and the guy was allegedly involved in two previous murders. This Kamala Harris cut this guy loose once before. I can guarantee you she'll do it again.
She's guilty, just as they are, if not more, because she was permitting this to happen, you know?
Now, this Kamala Harris could have charged him for associating with a known gang member. She could have done a number of other things as an officer of the law. And she decided not to. Now, why did she decide not to? Why is she protecting these animals from the public instead of protecting the public from these animals? Can you explain that to me?
I think she's a racist pig like Barack Obama. And
I don't know about racist and I don't know about pig. I think there's something else involved here. The problem is that the police can't do their job. The problem is that we have many brave detectives in the gang unit here whose hands are tied by the police chief, by the DA, and by the mayor himself. We have psychopathic gangbangers running around the city, and the DA does nothing. Why can't she be recalled? Now, look, Miami was once violent in the 1970s during the cocaine wars in the 70s and 80s. I mean, it was super violent. Now, tell me how Miami solved its super violent problem. It wasn't done by the Miami mayor. It wasn't done by the Miami DA. No, Ronald Reagan and Mr. Bush Sr. set up a federal task force, and they disabled the Colombian and Cuban drug lords. It was a federal task force that did it. And that is why I say we, the people of Northern California, are begging the Attorney General and are begging the U.S. Attorney in the Northern District of California to please hear us. We need a federal task force to save us from Kamala Harris and Gavin Newsom. Portland, Oregon, George, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
How you doing, Dr. Savage? First of all, they won't save you. And I have to thank you, first of all, and if you would set up a relief fund for those. I'm a father of two, and I have two young boys. And
no,
I
thought about that. I mean, this poor mother who has survived, she had to buy caskets today. That's what she had to buy today, three caskets. The gangbanger's laughing in jail with his compadres, and she's brokenhearted.
San Francisco, which has some, I've talked to you before, Dr. Seven. I'm a bridge builder up here in Portland, Oregon. We built bridges. We're working on the Oakland Bay Bridge, and San Francisco is a beautiful city in America. To get taken over by these perverts that, you know, they can't do it to us. And now
remember, San Francisco is a so-called sanctuary city, which is a magnet for cockroaches. When you declare you're a sanctuary city, where, if you were an illegal alien gangbanger, where would you go? To a sanctuary city or a city with a sheriff who would arrest you on sight and throw you into a pair of pajamas that are striped black and white and put you on a chain gang. Tell me where you go. To a sanctuary city? Of course. That's where you'd go.
Just like Portland, Oregon. Now, Dr. Savage, I was watching that program last night, too, about Winston Churchill. My father is an English teacher, literary speech teacher, and he moved out of Oregon, and he lives in Montana now. And he teaches that. In his classes, he plays Woodrow Wilson. He plays Winston Churchill. He plays.
All right. So, what's your main point about this, George?
Okay. Well, this is what has to happen. Is that the liberalism that's happening in America has to be taught in the schoolrooms. It has to be. America has to be taken. We saw you the other day in the courtroom. And the Supreme Court was...
All I can say is that the liberal progressives of San Francisco are getting the plague of homicide that they asked for. That's the bottom line here. The uber-liberal progressives of San Francisco are getting the plague of homicide that they have invested in. They've invested in it through sanctuary city policies. They've invested in it by appointing a dodo for a mayor. They've invested in it by permitting affirmative action appointees like Kamala Harris to run this district attorney's office into the ground. They've invested in it by permitting a police chief like Heather Fong to be a police chief. They've invested in it by attacking every law-abiding citizen who wanted to carry a gun. The uber liberal progressives have the city they deserve. Let us pray they don't turn down the wrong alley tonight and get wiped out by a gang member. I'll be right back.
Savage.
San Francisco, which prides itself on a wonderful, wonderful tolerance. As a sanctuary city, they consider the city a mosaic of diversity, and that these are just vibrant youths from foreign countries, and anyone who criticized them would be racist. Now, what I'm about to play for you is the capstone of this story. We have something that no one has heard. It is the deranged mayor fulminating about why this family was wiped out. He blames the NRA. Listen to this. You're not going to believe it.
You've got the NRA saying anything that restricts the opportunity for a guy that gets cut off in traffic from pulling out a handgun and almost assassinating an entire family, as was the case a few days ago in San Francisco where three people were gunned down, that somehow that's appropriate and wonderful, and that person celebrated his freedom to carry a loaded pistol.
The mayor is deranged. I believe the mayor is mentally deranged. First of all, the purveyor of this death was an illegal alien who was not entitled to carry a gun. I guess the mayor, as an attorney, failed that course in law school. I guess he failed the U.S. Constitutional, the course that described the U.S. Constitution about citizenship. But then to a man like Mayor Gavin Newsom, there's no such thing as a citizen because he believes in open borders and, of course, open marriage in this sense. But let's stick to the facts. This is the city, the chief law enforcement officer of the city is the mayor. He doesn't even know his own laws. He says that the NRA believes that anyone should be able to pull out a gun and kill anyone at a traffic stop. First of all, the NRA has never said that. We all understand that. And we understand that it was hyperbole. But it's deranged of the mayor to suggest that an illegal alien had the right to carry a gun to begin with, even under the Second Amendment, which they do not. So instead of taking responsibility himself for having created a climate to attract the cockroaches with weapons into his sanctuary diverse city, he now says it's the NRA's fault that this family is buying coffins today while he is getting ready to celebrate gay marriage all weekend through the entire weekend. So that's the country we're in today. Now, I've got to tell you something else. If Obama should get the election, he will appoint John Edwards, the shyster lawyer who bankrupted numerous hospitals and doctors through, in my opinion, completely fabricated cases about congenital diseases having been caused by doctors and hospitals. He will be your attorney general. We now have a clip of the gangbanger's wife crying on TV this morning about how she's being picked on and her poor husband. Listen to this.
And if you have a husband and kids, you can't even imagine.
Oh, hold it. Okay, well, thank you. All right, never mind. Don't play. I don't want to play it. I don't want to play it. I don't want to play on the people's emotions. And that's all I want to say about this. Well, this is a good argument of why the United States needs more illegal immigrants. This is a good argument of why your city in America should become a sanctuary city. And the reason is simple, because the more sanctuary cities that we have and the more gangbangers that are admitted into these cities, the faster the cities will be cleared out of the tax-paying citizen. And that will make it easier for the civil servant to rape the treasury. They can get away with virtual murder by using murderers. The more normal people they drive out, as you understand, the abnorms, the deviants, are interested only in their sexual pleasure. They do not care about corruption in City Hall. And that's all part of the game. Don't you understand that? So the more deviants and the more gangbangers you have and the more families you drive out, the more you can rape the treasury by appointing friends to $200,000 a year jobs and things of that nature, eating in restaurants for free. All of that is part and parcel of this homicide epidemic in the city. Make no mistake about it. This country needs more illegal immigrants. This country needs more any twosome newsomes as mayor and more sanctuary cities. This city needs more freedom for the gangs and less freedom for the citizen. That is the only way the liberal agenda, the progressive agenda, can advance until eventually the country is liberated of borders, language, and culture. Only when the country is liberated of Christianity and liberated of the strictures of borders and liberated of the strictures of this stupid, difficult, complex language called English, only when it becomes a polyglot nation, only when it is a Tower of Babel, only when there is no such thing as marriage or family, only then will the liberal agenda be realized. And then it will be a perfect world. It will be an ideal world. It will be a perfect world where the family is no longer a necessity. The family will disappear. Where law is no longer enforced, the law will disappear. Where reason itself disappears, there will no longer be a need for reason. There will only be a need for Gavin Newsom in this following example of a deranged, tortured man. Listen to this again.
You've got the NRA saying anything that restricts the opportunity for a guy that gets cut off in traffic from pulling out a handgun and almost assassinating an entire family, as was the case a few days ago in San Francisco where three people were gunned down, that somehow that's appropriate and wonderful, and that person celebrated his freedom to carry a loaded pistol.
I have actually never heard anything as deranged as this in my entire life. Even Air America is more rational than this mayor. Well, that's the story. That's the news. Triple homicide.
Savage.